Thank you, Mr. Kanza. Good afternoon to everybody. Hopefully you're doing very well. I'll share a little insight. When I am super tired, I sleep very well and have the craziest dreams. And last night was one of those nights. And, you know, these dreams are so crazy that you would think in the middle of the dream you would realize that this is clearly not happening and, you know, it would be okay, but that they are so real to me that I sleep right through them. So last night, I dreamt that for some reason it was a holy day, and, you know, there were a bunch of new people in the congregation, and for some reason I was both song leading and giving the offertory, which, you know, right there should be a clue that, you know, that's not real. But my second clue that it wasn't real is that I took my speaking notes, which I never have actual paper notes, and I stuck them in my song leading book, which is never true because I always have my handy penny iPad. So after I finished song leading, I look for my notes, and I cannot find my notes anywhere. And I'm flipping back and forth, looking through this thing, like, how did I lose this? Now I'm getting stressed out. People are leaving the hall because nothing's happening, right? This is like speaker's anxiety. And Patrick Kanza comes and saves the day. He had a message all prepared, and so that's how my dream ended. Anyway, a little insight into the joy of being a speaker, I suppose. Tomorrow, we set aside time to honor mothers. According to Wikipedia, a mother-daughter pair established Mother's Day. A lady named Ann Jarvis and her daughter, Anna Jarvis. I guess they didn't feel flamboyant. Ann and Anna Jarvis started the ball rolling as early as 1868. Ann Jarvis introduced Mother's Friendship Day, a day dedicated to reuniting families divided by the Civil War. Congress enacted Mother's Day officially in 1914. Not to be left undone with no recognition, people felt fathers too should be honored. However, it wasn't until 1972, nearly 60 years later after Mother's Day, that Father's Day was made a permanent national celebration by Congress. People do love their mothers. 6 years later, 1978, Congress passed a law establishing National Grandparents' Day. And so ever since, this ball has been rolling of Congress setting various days aside or periods of time to recognize all different types of things. All kinds of things are honored by people. Usually they focus on other people that they honor, but not always. For example, according to a search of various websites, the following people are honored on Mother's Day, or on the 11th. Military Spouse Appreciation Day is today. And also National Nurse Appreciation Week. So if you're a nurse, you get a whole week, which is good. People honor more than just other people. Also being honored today with recognition of a specific date are the following observations. Want to make sure you're fully informed. Today is Eat What You Want Day, where you can blow off your diet and have whatever you care. It's also National Twilight Zone Day, if you're a fan of that show. It's also National Train Day today. They have a website, like everybody else, nationaltrainday.com, and you can go check out, if you're passionate about trains, various things that they're honoring about that today. What do we honor? More importantly, who does God say we should honor? Now, we all know that God is to be honored above all, and also the things that he has made holy. This is the first principle of honor. What's after that? What comes next? Today, I'd like to review God's instruction on whom else we should honor besides God. Who is owed honor according to God? What does he say? And besides who, why? Why are various people owed honor? We'll explore that, and we'll also take a look at one scripture that we may have forgotten that we should be reminded of. Now, Merriam-Webster defines the word honor as showing of usually merited respect. In other words, we give people the honor that they deserve. The second principle of honor is that we honor all man. If you would, please turn to 1 Peter 2. And we'll see this instruction. And we'll land in verse 17. But to set the table of what he's about to share, Peter sets the context by giving the instruction of reminding the church who they are. And in verse 9, he says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." And right before verse 17, where we see the second principle of honor, he reminds us to live as bondservants of God. So, how do servants of God live, and what do they do? Verse 17, honor all people. The second principle of honor is that we honor all people. It's interesting that the chapter starts with acts of dishonor, if you want to scroll up, if you're scrolling, or look up, if you're looking. In verse 1, saying, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Who wants to be the recipient of deceit? Nobody. Nobody wants that. Who wants to be spoken about or to with hate or evil speech? Nobody wants that. God's children are to honor all people. As the commentators Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown mention in their Bible commentary, equals, you know, equal people, have a respect due to them. The instruction of honoring all people is more precise than it appears in the New King James, and it's helpful to read the New International Version to see this. It says, show proper respect to everyone. And by saying proper respect, it indicates that there are degrees of respect. Peter continues in verse 17. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Again, Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown in their commentary add this clarity. Their English is a little archaic because they wrote long ago. But they say, thus the first, which is honoring all men, is a general precept. The three following are its great divisions. Right? So three classes of showing honor. These are degrees of respect. God and God alone is to be feared. That is a respect due him. A special respect is set aside just for God, which is fear, godly fear. Our brethren are due love from us. That is the respect they deserve and are owed. And also, those in high authority are owed honor. So a second principle, or the second principle then, especially when we don't know what to do in human interactions, is to show honor to all people. Why? Why are all people supposed to be honored? Why are they supposed to receive respect? We have very little power to bring honor to ourselves. Proverbs 12:9 highlights that those who try to bring honor to themselves are usually hiding some kind of deficiency. And God raises this point and fact to Job when he's instructing Job. If you wouldn't mind turning to Job 40. That it's very difficult to bring honor to ourselves, probably impossible. Now, I have a special place in my heart for Job. I've been working on his story for one of my biographies, and it's still not ready, so keep working away. But in verse 1, it says, "Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, 'Shall one who contends with the Almighty correct him?'" And hopefully we all know the story of Job. "He who rebukes God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Because he's learned his lesson from the first time, apparently. He asked twice, but I will proceed no further. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you will answer me. Would you indeed annul my judgment? Would you condemn me that you may be justified? Do you have an arm like God? Can you thunder with a voice like his? Then adorn yourself with majesty and splendor, and array yourself with glory and beauty. This is what God says to Job. And Job, as far as we know, has been laying in the ground for the last 7 days, resting in a bed of ashes, probably and likely covered with open sores, and stewing with frustration both at his circumstances of laying in the ground and also dealing with the attacks of his friends that are trying to help him see his shortcomings. And he's brewing internally about this situation where he feels he's been treated unfairly. He is dirty. He's disgusting. And he's discontent. And to him, God says, in effect, array yourself like a king. It can't be done. We can't give honor to ourselves. Honor is granted by God. And we'll see David's observations in Psalm 8, if you wouldn't mind turning there, the book of Psalms. And we'll look at Psalm 8. Because God did an act that we may not have present in our mind, and I thought I would share that with you. In Psalm 8, in verse 4, it says, What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. Now, any honor or glory that we have is God-given, as we've previously established. And God has given all men glory. That's what Psalm 8 has said. So then who are we, if God has given somebody else honor, to disrespect them and not show them the proper respect that they are due? As you will recall, we are made in the image of God. So why do we show honor to all people? Because we respect the honor that God has given to all of man. That's principle three. Principle four is authority is owed honor. There's another reason why all people should be honored. This is the fourth principle. Authority is owed honor. David highlights something that, again, we may not recognize in verse 5 of that same chapter. For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over your works of your hand. You have put all things under his feet. God has given each and every person authority to his creation. We are responsible for that domain. And we all have a small little patch that we're responsible to steward and to care for. Right now, my small little patch is rebelling with weeds. Either that or they're trying to help me by protecting my grass from eroding. But we all have this portion of dominion for which we are responsible, and that honor has been given to us by God. Therefore, as people in authority over our domain, we should respect the position of other people and their authority over their domain. One reason we don't steal is that would be an act of disrespect towards our neighbor's authority over their goods. Now, this principle is further expounded in Romans 13, if you wouldn't mind turning there. The principle that those in authority are owed honor. Romans 13, where it says, Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordination of God, the ordinance of God, excuse me. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Render, therefore, to all their due. So it's a debt that is due to them. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Customs to whom customs are due. Fear to whom fear. And as we've already established, God is the sole one that we fear. And honor to whom honor. It's interesting that honor is represented as a debt that must be paid when it's due. Verse 8 that follows on says, owe no man anything, which implies that that honor must be paid immediately when it's due. It's a debt that we owe. Authority is owed honor because God has appointed various authorities, as we've previously read. He graces those positions with honor. We've already established, right? God gives honor to things. And in fact, if you search through scriptures, the people that are explicitly called out as to receive appropriate honor are all in positions of authority. I'll give you a short list and also a supporting scripture so that you can look it up if you choose. First up is parents. We all know that one, Exodus 20. The elderly, and you can read that in Leviticus 19. Civil rulers, which is 1 Peter 2. Bosses, which is 1 Timothy 6. Wives and husbands, which is 1 Peter 3. And widows, which is 1 Timothy 5. Now, I considered widows because immediately you don't think of them as people in a position of authority, or at least their authority isn't readily apparent. There's two reasons that I discovered. One is that God is the defender of widows. He states that, also the fatherless and those that are strangers in the land. He is the defender of widows, and that is a position of honor, to have God as your defender. Would be a position of honor. Also, they have claim to the remnants of the harvest. As you'll recall, you weren't supposed to clean out your harvests entirely. You're supposed to leave the corners and anything that needed gleaning available for the widows, the fatherless, and the strangers. So they have authority over that jurisdiction given by God. Let's review the principles of honor. The first principle is that we honor God, the things that he has made holy, and the positions he gives authority. The second principle is that we honor all men. Why? Because of the third principle. God created all men in honor, and with a degree of authority he gave them. The fourth principle acknowledges that there are positions of authority established by God for which we should show the appropriate respect, which includes sometimes submission. Or almost always submission, which you can read again in Romans 13. It's a form of respect that we can pay what is due. And the appropriate respect for God's position and authority includes fear, an aspect of unique respect set aside just for him. So those are principles of honor and establish who and why we should honor various people. As always, I try to think of one practical act that we can do to take these principles and apply them. And I want to remind us of what's in Leviticus 19, lest we forget. So if you wouldn't mind turning to Leviticus 19 and verse 15. A practical thing that we can all do, and that those who are parents, who are teaching their kids, should teach their children. Leviticus 19 and verse 15 says, you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. Now, it's not always that God attaches his name to an instruction. This is one of them. It probably seems rather antiquated to rise in the presence of another person. But this is instruction from God, that we should rise before people that have gray hair. and honor the presence as doing so of old men. We should practice this as God has attached his name to it. To conclude, I would like to quote Proverbs 11:16 from the New International Version. It says, "A kind-hearted woman gains respect." So a special thanks is owed to all of our mothers, to thank them for everything that they have done and will do to make our lives more joyful and more enjoyable. So happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, and we look forward to celebrating with you tomorrow.